Welcome to the History Reviewed channel, where we analyze the lies and deceptions of history. I just want to do an update about the strange events of February 2020 that threw a bit of a curved ball into my activities. Basically, it started right at the end of January. On the 25th of January, I went off with a friend to go and listen to a talk. And the talk was given by a Jew. My friend had spotted something that could be of real interest, and I was told the night before. And I said, yes, let's go for it. We got to get in there and see what we can hear from this Jew. And it was a very important Jew. And the next thing that's coming out is you're going to start getting parts of what this Jew said. Some very, very interesting stuff in there. So anyway, it was a Saturday. So we went and listened to the Jew talk. And I managed to get a chance to ask the Jew a question, to which he replied, and I've got everything. You're going to hear some interesting stuff. So that was pretty cool, and I was very happy with that. And then, on about the Monday evening or so, I was working late, and I was on the internet. And all of a sudden, my internet connection goes down. But my ADSL line has been unreliable sometimes, and it has done some weird things. So I think to myself, I'll just reconnect again. And I reconnect, and it still is off. And I reconnect again, and it's still off. Luckily, just a few days before that, I had tested my plan B. I always have a plan B, and my internet had been down for over 3 weeks about 2 years ago, and that really disrupted me, and it cost me a lot of money to just get access to internet in the meantime, and even then I was still borrowing from neighbors and so forth. So that time 2 years or so ago, when I'd been without the internet and I'd had to pay quite a stack of money to stay online and be able to carry on doing things on my website, I had decided to try and have a better plan B. And last year I did actually spot an opportunity, and I went and I bought something, and that was going to be my plan B. I actually upgraded something. And so, just before my ADSL went down, I'd actually spent a couple of days thoroughly testing my plan B. It was about 4 or 5 days before the ADSL went down. And I was very happy with the results, very. I had more data, everything was working perfectly. So, when the internet went down after midnight and I couldn't connect, and I tried again and again, I then just used my plan B, and I thought I'd worry about things in the morning. And in the morning I discovered that the internet was still down, and it didn't worry me that much. But then as things started taking longer than 24 hours, I was starting to then catch up and try and find out what the hell is going on now. Why is it down for so long? And that was when I discovered that night before, when the internet had gone dead, that actually a bunch of blacks with a big truck had come into the suburb next to mine, and they'd opened the manholes. And they'd gone into the manholes and they'd stolen lots of copper cable. Copper cable theft in South Africa is quite a big thing. And the copper cable, These blacks then put it on the truck and bug it off. So I don't know how much copper cable they stole, but we discovered that there was something like 1,600 of us without telephone and without ADSL in that suburb and my suburb. So these blacks have now committed the crime, and of course they won't be caught for it. That's never going to happen. And now we're sitting without any freaking telephone and ADSL. And then to make matters worse, they then said that they're not going to replace the copper, that we have to move to fiber. And we do have fiber here, but I'm a bit wary of it, and it costs quite a lot of money. And it's all uncapped and all that, but I don't need uncapped. I'm just more concerned with cutting my costs. I know how much I need. Anyway, now when I heard that we were going to be forced to shift to fiber with its additional costs, I then began to think I really need to look at something else. I need to think hard about what I'm going to do because I'm not just going to jump around. And one of the problems here in South Africa is you've got all these black monopolies now. So all these big companies are controlled by blacks and they've got monopolies in the areas. So for example, like fiber, you've got to go through one company. There's one company that controls all the fiber in like my neighborhood. And others can purchase fiber from it, but it lays down the basic rules. So fiber in my area is a bit more expensive than fiber in other areas. I was feeling so confident with my backup plan that I reckoned I had enough data with my plan B that I was going to try and see if I can't go through the whole of February just running off my plan B. And then I decided to go back to Telkom and tell them, you know what? I've had a guts full of you people, and I want to terminate my contract with you permanently, immediately. And they said, well, there are going to be penalties, and they tried to sweet talk me out of it, and they said, oh, but you can get wireless internet from us, and it's only going to cost so much. And I said to them, I want nothing to do with you. I want to terminate it immediately. And if this is, what is the penalty? They told me about the penalties. I said, fine, terminate immediately. I don't care about the penalties. And I must tell you that in South Africa, I'm so suspicious of these blacks that when I spoke to a family member of mine, he had gone through exactly the same thing on the East Rand, on the eastern side of Johannesburg, a year earlier, where the blacks also came and they stole the cable, and then Telkom said they're not replacing the cable and everybody's got to move to fiber. And my family member had to move to fiber. So I thought to myself, I wouldn't be surprised if some of these blacks in these companies, like these companies selling fiber, I wouldn't be surprised if they are bribing other blacks to even go and carry out the crime. Pay them a whole bunch of money to go and steal the copper cable, because in the next few weeks they're going to get 1,000 new customers who are going to be screaming for fiber. It really wouldn't surprise me. And when I even spoke to Telkom, they said to me that there's a lot of this copper theft going on, and it's just going on all over the show. The people in my neighborhood seem to have given Telkom so much hell that actually, after about 2 weeks, they actually repaired the ADSL and they actually put the lines up. But I had thought carefully before I burned my bridges. And every time there's a disaster, it always costs me more money. So I wondered if I could take this disaster and take a lemon and make a lemonade out of it. And I wondered whether I could run off my little backup plan for a month and then just see what I can do in order to reduce costs. Because my telephone and my ADSL are all through the same company. And I've had so many things where over the years there are features that I used to have that I didn't want anymore. And then I'd say to them, listen, I don't want that feature anymore. I don't want that service anymore. Remove it. And you know, they can't remove it. They'll say to me, oh, but we can't do it over the phone. You've got to do it via our website. Then I go to the website and you log in and you can't do it. Or you try to do it and it doesn't work. And they've got bugs on their website. So I'd found that there were a number of services that I'm paying for, that I've been paying for years, which I'd asked them to terminate. And so I sit with this bloated account for all these different things. I even have an email address from Telkom that's like my proper email address. And it was blocked some time back. And I said to them, I'm paying you monthly for that email address. Can't you fix that thing? Can't you sort out something? Can't you give me another email address? So I'm paying for an email address that I have no service on at all. So I was sitting with this monthly account from Telkom that's bloated, and I'm saying to myself, you know what? I can do without a landline. I don't make many phone calls. The main thing I need is internet. I'll find another way around it. And I decided to run with my plan B. My plan B worked so well. In fact, it worked excellently. The only problem with my plan B was that my plan B, can you believe, was about 15 times faster than my ADSL line. And just prior to this stealing of this cable, I think it was in January, the internet in South Africa had huge problems because some undersea cable to Africa was thoroughly damaged, and they had to send out a ship to go and repair it. And internet for weeks was already terrible. My internet at one point was so slow that it was about 4% of what it used to be. I'm not joking. It was like more than 95% down in terms of speed. And I was really battling with my websites. I couldn't even go to BitChute. I couldn't even view a single video on BitChute. It was that slow. It was unbelievable. And that was in about January. And so just as that was starting to come right, because apparently people were then starting to reroute the lines through other parts of Africa, and so our internet was getting a bit faster. And then the next thing is they come and they steal all the freaking cables. Part of this can also be because the blacks themselves are running into more and more problems themselves, and criminal activity might be on the rise due to economic circumstances getting worse. But like I say, I wouldn't be surprised if black businessmen are paying the criminals to carry out the thefts. That would not surprise me one bit at all. Anyway, in the month that I started using my alternative, because I'd built up like something of a credit on my plan B was about 15 times faster than my ADSL line. It was unbelievable. I'd never had such fast internet ever. The only problem was that my plan B was much more expensive per gigabyte. And so I began to realize also that certain things that I'd been doing, like opening lots of tabs in a browser, that some of those things are wasting lots of internet bandwidth. So if I open the browser and I've saved a whole bunch of open tabs, especially if they've got videos, that then it chews up the bandwidth. Furthermore, because the connection is so fast, I'm finding that I'm using more bandwidth per day than I used to. And I had a very limited plan that should have taken me through the month without a problem, but I began to realize it was going to be a very, very tight squeeze. So I was literally, and another twist to it was that my data was so much data during the day and so much data after midnight. So I had to do some things in the day and other things after midnight. It was an uncomfortable thing to do. I didn't enjoy it. But anyway, I decided let me try and go through the month, and at least I've kicked Telkom to one side. It's going to be one less bill to pay, and it's quite a big bill that I'm throwing to one side. So let me see what I can do, and then in the month, I will use the month as a period of research to figure out what I'm going to do at the end of the month. And during the month, one of the first things I wanted to do was to look for other alternatives. But I wanted to try and also look for something that's not one of these big black fucking monopolies. I'm sick to death of them, and they give you no service, and they'll even lie to you, and they'll say, oh, this thing's going to cost you so much. And then when the end of the month comes, you're going to find there's even more additional charges on your bill. So I didn't just want to run off and just grab anything. One of the ideas I had was to actually buy Wi-Fi from somebody who runs a business nearby. But it's a little bit of a distance, and the direct line of sight is a bit difficult from me to this person, and there were even trees in the way. And I began to experiment to see if I could actually pick up enough Wi-Fi because of the distance and everything. It was very uncomfortable. At first it seemed almost impossible, but after a lot of experimenting and a lot of weird experimenting and a couple of minor adventures, climbing on ladders, jumping around here, looking at that, trying this thing, trying that thing, walking around everywhere, measuring the signal until I know where the signal is strongest. And unfortunately, due to the position, it was hard to get an exact thing that could work. But at one point, I was even outside sawing branches off trees. And trees that weren't even my own. And I was doing all kinds of weird things to try and see what I could do to try and get Wi-Fi. I actually had somewhat promising success, but it wasn't easy. It meant I had to like literally put a computer outside my house, because I couldn't receive it inside my house. But I was starting to fiddle, and it showed potential. But then one of my friends came up with an idea. He said he knew the owner of a company, and this company does wireless internet. And until then, I'd only heard of wireless internet from Telkom and didn't trust it at all, because I'd seen how useless they were at everything. And then this guy told me about wireless internet from this company and that he knows the owner. So let's say that this company is more white than these black fucking monopolies. So I looked at the prices, and the prices were quite amazing. And I decided that, you know what, it's really worth the risk. We've got a lot of lightning here, and lightning can strike the wireless internet aerial. But I sat and thought about it, and I thought, you know what? Even if there are risks in this, I think it's worth the effort. So at the end of the month, I got the wireless internet installed, and I ran tests on it, and it's about 20% faster than the ADSL. So it works okay. It's fine, and it's limited. But I'm looking for things to cut costs on, and I'm feeling quite pleased about it. Plus, I still have my plan B And my plan B won't be used all month, but my plan B is there in the event that I run low on bandwidth, then I can still switch to my plan B for let's say 1 week in the month. So I've managed to patch something together and I'm feeling quite happy with that. Among the problems that came from it is my setup is a little bit old and my things have been rather stagnant, and I've not changed any of my networking stuff in many years. So once the ADSL was down and I started fiddling on my computers and fiddling with different ways of getting internet, either through Wi-Fi or whatever else I was fiddling with, I began to run into a problem where, with all my experimentation on my computers, I was causing some problems for myself. And in the one case, I went and did some silly things, all in the name of saving on bandwidth. And then I tried to install something on my Linux machine, and I really buggered up my Linux machine. It took me about 2 days of intensive work to just try and recover my Linux machine. I was on the edge of losing it completely, not even being able to have backups or anything. But I managed to sort of revive it and get it into enough of a working state that I can run with it for a couple of months until such time as I have the time to reformat it and set it up from scratch. So that was then another problem that came that was a lot of stress for me. So just as that was sorted out and I was feeling a bit better about things, the next thing that hit was people were complaining about malware and viruses on my websites. And then I went and investigated. And I must tell you, I wasn't keen on looking at the virus problem. I wasn't keen at all. And when I started reading up about it, one of my supporters sent me some details of what he thought I could do. He was technical. He gave me some good advice. And to my horror, I realized that it's not like getting a virus on your computer. Can't just put in some software and the software will remove the virus. The best you can get is software that might detect or point you to viruses, but even then, you still have to check out every infection yourself and you have to make decisions and decide whether you're going to remove it. And if so, you may have to remove it. And it really was not something I was looking forward to. And I spent a few days fiddling with that. And I was again just trying to save money and just trying to see what I can do. One of the things that I've had over the years, because of hacking in the past and all that, and things that have happened to my sites in the past, I always used my technical expertise as a way of running my own websites. And that gave me a certain amount of self-sufficiency and self-reliance, and it helped me to do things that I would otherwise have had to pay people for. And at least out of those things, I've learned a lot of stuff. I've learned more and more with time. And many times people say to me, "Jan, you must do this. Jan, you must do that." And then I have to do it myself. And it's not always something you want to do, but you learn from it bit by bit. Anyway, I discovered that on African Crisis and White Shop that I had some heavy infections. For some reason that's not clear yet, I didn't have similar infections on History Reviewed, which amazed me. The number of infections on White Shop was quite a lot. It was like about 1,500, and on African Crisis it was like 2,300. In total, there was more than 3,800 infections on those two websites. and these were JavaScript infections, which means that they are running on the outside of the system. So it's not inside the server. It's going to mainly affect people who are viewing the site. After looking into it and looking at, and another thing that really messed me around was that the virus scanners, the different virus scanners would give you different results. So this one will say you got a problem there, and the other one would say you got a problem somewhere else. And some of them agree a little bit, and others of them don't agree with each other at all. So I'm sitting and asking myself now, which freaking virus scanner is correct? If they're all correct, then I got serious, serious problems, because they're giving me so many other alarms and warnings that I just don't know, you know, how long it's going to take me to fix this. But anyway, I plodded along. Eventually, I decided to write myself a computer program that would help me to remove the 3,800 infections rather than doing it manually. And I spent a day and I wrote a nice little program that I could use that could hunt through and find the infections and fix them. And I could test it thoroughly, and once I got it going, it was great. And I thought it would be a good thing to have that I could use either for virus infections in the future or even for other things. So in the end, after wasting a couple of days on that, I walked away feeling much better about it. And the latest that I've heard is I had one person saying that the allow space malware is still there. But then he wrote to me saying that he's not detected it again. And that was the only remaining malware that concerned me, was the one that takes you to the Allow Space website. But otherwise, I'm feeling happy that things seem to have settled down. And I have put in procedures and software to stop new infections, and I've checked, and it's looking a lot better. So I'm going to wind up with a few other technical things where I'm going to ask somebody to give me some help with one or two things. But I've survived my first malware infection of my new sites. Because long time ago, I used to write my own websites with my own bit of technology. They were much simpler, and I understood them inside out. This is the first time that I've used, let's call it, newer technology, and I didn't even know you could get viruses for this stuff. So that came out of the blue. And from here onwards, I'm checking and watching. I don't want this stuff again. But if I've managed to combat it properly by myself with the bit of help that I had, then I'm feeling quite pleased about it. And I am getting daily reports of attempted infections, and it's quite a lot actually. So I'm very happy to see that the software is kicking in and helping. All these damn things were just a big nuisance and just a drag on a person's morale, you know. Now you've got this problem, now you've got that problem, and you are struggling to just keep things going. So anyway, at least I managed to get past those things. And by the end of the month, I was feeling quite good. I'd made up my mind how I was going to handle Telkom and how I was going to handle the money issues. So all in all, I felt quite good at the end of the month that my plan to try and make some lemonade out of the lemon had not gone too badly. But it was a very tight month, and it was an unpleasant month. It meant being up at all kinds of weird times, and then I'm trying this thing outside and trying that thing over there on the computers. It was a real irritating month, but I came through it and I felt much better for it, that I'd learned a lot and still managed to keep my communications channels open. Because one thing that worries me a lot is when I can't communicate. That bothers me more than anything else. And this had come just at a time as I was getting nicely into the swing of things of producing new videos. I'd actually prepared other things which were almost finished or already finished, and then it was just so chaotic from the one thing to the other. Another thing that I also did immediately was the moment that I had internet connectivity problems, was I needed to have a backup of my websites, but I didn't have enough bandwidth to just download it straight onto my machines. So I had to work out a system of doing backups and storing it somewhere else so that I don't wipe out my bit of bandwidth that I've got for the month. Plus, the fact that my plan B is working so well, I'm already chewing more bandwidth than I normally do. So these things were all complications, but I sorted out everything, including the backups. I worked out a nice little plan, got that to work. And among the other things that I'm trying to do is I'm trying to do activism here in South Africa. In the past, I didn't bother with activism, but in the last 15 months, I've had a good run of doing some activism, and I've made more and more contacts. So my activism here has been building up, but the only problem here is that you can't do the activism just on the internet because people have got their communications methods here, and I don't want to go into detail of what it is and how it is, but let's just say people have their devices and they've got their communications methods. And if you want to talk to them, you've got to go to them. There are people who don't have internet, but you can communicate with them electronically, and that also adds to problems. Then there are those who do have internet, but they don't have that much bandwidth. So what I was trying to do with that is I found that sometimes I'm trying to do things where I'm talking to South Africans, and other times I'm trying to talk to people outside South Africa. And you spend time talking to the one group, but then you are not talking to the other group. And the one doesn't know what you're saying to the other. And also, just generally, dealing with people and trying to teach them stuff when they haven't got the urge or the desire to go to your websites. It's not easy. So I've been trying to think of ways of handling this. And I've also found that sometimes the activism in South Africa can chew up a lot of time from people who aren't actually your supporters. They're not actually going to support you, but you need to tell them stuff, and they aren't easy to convince. So it is a tricky game. And what I was trying to do lately is to come up with a method whereby, since I'm focusing on videos and audios again, where I want to try and make it so that when I upload my stuff, that my stuff can go to the local audience as well as to the foreign audience. And that presents me with all kinds of problems. And just to remind you that I'm not on YouTube, and if you upload a video to YouTube, you just go and upload the video to YouTube. And YouTube takes care of everything. But when I upload videos to my website, I can't do that. I have to make sure that my videos are within certain parameters, otherwise they won't run properly. And there's basically more work that I have to do in order to get my videos to run on my websites. And the same applies for BitChute. BitChute is under similar constraints. So when I produce videos, it's not like I just produce a video and I just upload it to YouTube and it's done. It doesn't work like that. I have to produce the video, I then have to compress it and make it so that it takes up as little space as possible. And then I've still got to upload it to my website and do the settings for my website to see it. And it's the same thing with BitChute. So there's a lot more manual labor involved in getting videos and audios up, which you just need to keep in mind. And then the other problem with it is that if I now want to take some of those videos and audios and send it to South African people, I now have other technology problems here. How do I convert this stuff to make it work for them? So I've been sitting and thinking and testing and trying different ideas. And in the last few days, I think I've got a system that can work that will allow me to start getting some of my message out in a better way. So now what I'm trying to do is my big focus for this year, my big focus for the year is going to be producing audios and videos. And it will be audio if audio alone is good enough. It will be video when videos are truly needed. So you'll see me actually producing different things. But all of the things I produce, I'll make sure that there's a copy of it on BitChute. And what I was trying to do with my BitChute channel, which is quite new, is I was also trying to re-release old stuff that's important onto BitChute. And what I'm doing now is I'm trying to mirror everything. So whatever I do on BitChute, I do on my websites as well. So that way I don't get confused because there are so many things. I've got hundreds of videos, and if you do something here and you forget about it. So I'm trying to do things in a way that newer audiences catch up on older stuff. So some of the older audiences will be a bit ticked off about things, but I'm trying to get things out for newer audiences who aren't aware of some of the things I've done in the past, because they'll come and they'll argue with me over other things which I have already dealt with. So I think I've got a nice system now. It's pretty decent, and I've managed to sort out my machines despite my Linux problem, and I'm feeling quite happy that I'll be able to carry on and I'll be able to produce more videos and audios this year than I've done in a long, long time. This year, I'm cutting back on costs like crazy. Last year, there were lots of additional costs due to the traveling. This year, I'm cutting back on costs. I'm trying to get myself to a point where I'm not constantly spending more than I can afford. I'm trying desperately to make my setup more viable, and I'm going to great lengths to try and do that. And one of the things is cutting back on travel and stuff. So I'm trying to run things on as tight a budget as I possibly can. So expect lots of stuff that I've been talking about for a long, long time, expected out this year. This year is very important, and I'm going to focus on churning out videos and audios. The other thing that I'm going to do this year is now that I understand the website technology much better and some of the other changes that I made, like the Contact Us pages, I'm feeling very pleased with that. Now, what I'm going to do this year is there are other things I need to take care of. Some of them are security. Some of them are new features. There are a bunch of things I want to do, and they're not going to be something that I can do quickly. So this year, I want to churn out lots of audios, lots of videos, and I also want to work hard on some of my websites to clean up things and sort things out. These other things were such an annoyance that I pretty much threw my little shop to one side, and I've only actually processed one order from start to finish on my little shop, and I've got two more orders that are real. I've had other people who placed orders who then just disappeared. But I want to complete the two orders Each order that I've had has been different. I've sold a book, and now I've got two other orders, and they've got their own problems that need to be dealt with. So I'll be sorting that out. Once I've completed those two orders and I've sorted out things, then I can look back at chucking things onto my shop as well. But I first want to finish those things because I need to understand more of how things are going to work. Running the shop and its associated technical and payment issues has been tricky, but I still think that it can work. So it's been quite a hectic year, and this thing was a real curveball. But I will tell you that a lot of what I did technically, I'm feeling happy with. And in the event that I have new problems, I've got my plan B, I've got my plan C, I've got everything in place. I've spent a little bit of money and I've done some things, and I think that I can handle most anything that's thrown at me, I think. But I also find that being self-sufficient is important, and I want to warn all of you, it should be obvious to you that in the last few years that you've seen that it's no longer fun doing our activism, because the Jews are trying to fuck it up every chance they get. And I've also got to be careful, because of the laws and things in South Africa. I have to be careful with the things I do. And just a point to people who complain about some of the stuff I do. Some people used to complain my videos were too long, etc. But just to let you know that every single video that I create, I listen to the entire thing from start to finish at least once. At least once. And sometimes even more times than that. So a lot of work does go into the things that I'm doing. But I want to bring out some of the best stuff now. And I've got other things. I've got so many things that I've prepared. I've got dozens and dozens and dozens and dozens of things that I want to push out. I can actually churn out hundreds of videos and audios on all kinds of topics. And I'm trying to do it in such a way that I'm teaching people, and that what is coming out of it is each thing deals with a different topic, and I'm trying to use it to try and get all my audiences up to the same level. I've also got a tiny channel on Brightian, and somebody told me about a place called Goyim TV, but Goyim TV is down. If other viable places come up for putting videos and audios, I'm game for it. The only one I'm not wasting time with is YouTube. Maybe at some point I might put tiny things on YouTube, but I'm not going to worry about that now. I just want to focus on churning out more video and audio content, and also I want to take care of bunch of technical things that'll take me in between my other stuff. I think it'll take me about a year. So those are my plans for the year. But I want to also just tell people that it's important to learn more things and to learn technology and learn anything that you can. Because as you will see, people have had to go and learn how to use programs to create videos. People have had to go and learn how to use photo editing software in order to produce memes. Everybody's had to learn all kinds of technical skills, and it's very important because it makes you self-sufficient. And notice also how we've had to move on to Gab and onto our own websites and things, as we've been driven off of other places. There are still some social media where I do go, but all of us have had to learn all kinds of tricks And we've had to use all kinds of tactics in order to do things. And it's very important to be self-sufficient because you've got a hostile enemy that's constantly trying to destroy what you're doing. So you've got people all the time trying to break your stuff. And as we progress, it's just going to get worse. It's going to be tough. You're going to find that every inch of the way they're going to dog us. It's never going to stop. This struggle against Jewry is going to eventually turn into a war. So just hang in there, and I will still come back and explain to you why it's important to learn all sorts of things that you can and to be as self-sufficient as you can. It saves you money, it allows you to do things where otherwise you might have to go to a company and the company just says to you, well, I won't do that, I don't support that. In fact, with my shop, that's already happened with the posters. Somebody was going to supply the posters, and when somebody came to order a poster, then the company said, no, they're not going to do that. So you're going to find that with all the stuff that we do, they're going to be hounding us and tripping us up every which way. You've seen it with PayPal, you've seen it with YouTube, you've seen it with Facebook, you've seen it with Twitter, and they still come. They're still hunting for people on Gab. They've even had scientists evaluating the hate speech on Gab. The Jews are everywhere as they're trying to use high-level stuff against us. So for me, it's been quite an educational month, I must tell you. Frustrating, but also educational. I learned a lot. And you'll notice that I don't give away too much detail because it's better to not say some things. But it has been rather creepy. Anyway, so keep an eye open. I'm going to put out the videos that you need to see and hear. There's important information. Among the more fun things that I did while I was busy with that was I was studying a lot of Professor Quigley's stuff. I really wanted to get into the mind of the way the American elite think. And in between, I actually was looking at some really interesting things. So I have a lot of things to say about many things. And for the first time also, I've got some British supporters, people who are quite fervently standing up. And it's nice to see that coming from Britain. Really, people are shaping up. And there are other things I'll put out to show you that, you know what, we're not doing bad at all. And keep in mind as well that we are pioneers. We are pioneers in a new form of warfare. And these things that we are doing, this is pioneering stuff. I can tell you now that 100 and 500 years from now, people will talk about this age of the internet and how it started and what were the first problems that came out of the internet. And this war between whites and Jews on the internet, this is going to be one of the main topics of study for centuries to come. I can tell you that I think that social scientists will be studying us in the future. Make no mistake, don't think it won't happen. This stuff that we are living through and the threats that we present and the people who've come and done shootings and all the political upheaval, we are living like the people in Europe 100 years ago. It's literally exactly 100 years ago that whites were starting to stand up against Jews in Europe, and now it's moved into becoming a worldwide thing. So don't think that these things we are doing are not important. These things are critically important, and the roles that we are playing, people are still going to study us. I'm telling you now. I think there will even be other races like the blacks and Asians who will actually study us whites when they look back because we are the main pioneers in this fight. We are the ones who are using the internet for political and social change, cultural change. Big things are going to come out of this still. And the techniques and methods we are pioneering here, don't you think that this is nothing? This is big stuff. I'm telling you, history books are still going to be written about what has come from the internet and where this is going to lead us. I think that it's going to lead to political change. I think it'll lead to revolutions and war. I really believe that what we are doing is going to take us into an age of conflict. And this is going to be the prime mover towards that conflict. We might even be the precursor to World War III. World War III is only going to happen when white men stand up. And we might be the precursor to World War III. And these are things that I really believe. I really believe it. And there are some other things in my studies where I've come across other information that I want to put out, especially something from an intelligence agency. I want to tell you, man, our enemies are getting afraid of us. And they want to crush us, and they're shitting bricks. And some of these professionals are even saying that we are a bigger threat than ISIS. They are even saying that we are much more sophisticated and better organized than ever before, which should be a real pat on our backs, you know? So don't let the negatives get to you. We are in the precursor of what could be huge political upheavals. And I believe that what we are doing is massive. And when you understand more about Quigley, and we'll talk about civilizations, when we talk about civilizations, I'm going to show you why I believe we are critical. We could be shaping the future world. It's going to be very, very interesting. So don't feel bad about the things that are happening. We are rocking and rolling, and our responses are fantastic. And the way that we fought back, the way that we fought back using labor, our own initiative, this is actually powerful stuff. This, again, will fall within the realm of things that Professor Quigley was writing about when he was talking about the rise and fall of civilizations. And I'll give you a bit of an example. A key concept in Quigley's Rise and Fall of Civilizations is that when a civilization arises, it's got an instrument of expansion. The instrument of expansion can be many things. It can be slavery, it can be business, it can be military. Whatever. Well, we are in the process of creating an instrument of expansion. And probably at this point in time, the internet is the most critical instrument of expansion. Now, Quigley's got all kinds of theories about instruments of expansion and the cycles they go through, etc., etc. But an instrument of expansion is a very critical thing. And the internet is the current instrument of expansion. He's got all kinds of fascinating concepts, some of which I agree with, some of which I disagree with, others which I will have to think long and hard about. But I quite enjoy Quigley. I quite enjoy him. He's given me my first true insight into what the elite of America might be thinking. And I'm convinced that I've got some kind of answer now. And these are among many topics that we're going to discuss. But I'm going to be blasting out all sorts of things. I might also, at points, blast out short videos. And if I put out very short things, I might put out more than one in a day. I'm going to try to put out a new video or audio every day. It'll either be an old one that's been reworked or just an old one that's been re-released, but I'm going to try very hard to get out something new all the time because there are lots and lots of things to discuss. So I'll be mixing and matching, and you hang in there. And I'm always grateful if people support me, and I'm grateful if people help to spread the word because they try hard to stop my word from spreading. They do try indeed. But we've come far, and I'm hoping if there are more video channels and platforms and social media that come up, I will join them. At the moment, I'm on Pivotal and I'm on Gab, and I do operate clandestinely elsewhere. And I've watched lots of the things that whites are doing. It's so good, I must tell you, that when I look at the quality of stuff that's coming out and the way whites are doing things, I'm telling you, big stuff is going to come out of this. And when we talk about civilizations, you're going to see some really interesting things. My own view is that the elite, working hand in glove with the Jews, are creating a new civilization. That all these things that they are doing, and you'll see how it works when I explain Quigley to you, that the elite is convinced that they are creating a brand new civilization. And they are creating this civilization in order to expand Western civilization. Otherwise, Western civilization would collapse. This is part of what they believe. However, when I sat and I thought through much of what Quigley had to say, I came to the conclusion that while the elite and the Jews believe they are going to create a new civilization, the people who will actually create the new civilization will be us. And I'll explain to you why I'm convinced we are going to beat them. It's got to do with a whole bunch of other factors, but I'm telling you now, take the work that we are doing seriously. Take your politics and your cultural stuff seriously. You have no idea the importance of what we're doing. And when I see the professionalism and the kind of creativity that is coming out of memes, I love memes, that's coming out of memes, that's coming out of posts, I'm telling you, we're on our way. We're already getting so verbally proficient that Jews cannot beat us anymore by just talking. The Jews cannot outmaneuver us by talking. We can match them in everything. Memes, we are the gods and the kings of memes. Nobody can even touch us on memes. The video creations that are starting to come out, it's just getting better and better. There are things that I've seen that have been produced on shoestring budgets that can match the best of the professionals. Truly, we are busy creating something, and this thing that we are working together on is going to become enormous. We are building, we are the ones who are building the real thing, and I'm feeling very pleased. I'm feeling really pleased at what I see. I think that we're going to give them hell. They are going to be tearing their hair out. The Jews are already freaking out. I was just watching a BitChute video earlier from the World Jewish Congress, and you could see these Jews are freaking out, man. They've never experienced anything like this. And they're talking about people need to be thrown into jail for anti-Semitism. They think this is the only way to stop it. And they're talking about how the message that is coming out now is exactly the same as the message that the Nazis used so well. It's freaking them out, man. These people are afraid of us, and they should be. They should be. But they're freaking out, and we haven't even got guns yet. We haven't even got an army yet. And we're still going to have all of those things, I tell you. So don't feel bad about anything, but just understand that everything's a bit of a rough ride, and we must just keep on keeping on. So I hope that gives you a bit of an update on what I've been up to. It was a month that annoyed me a bit, but I think I've made some good decisions. We will see as the year goes forward. And luckily, I've got a plan B and a plan C just in case I've made a mistake. These are my websites: historyreview.com, africancrisis.info, and white-sharp.biz. This is my attempt to try and do some Jew-free trading and experimenting with the next level of stuff. So, thank you very much for listening. We'll be chatting again soon. Take care of yourselves.